Listen, before I can I do something before we go into the slides?
You sure can, but I just need to tell you at 10:30, we're all going to get up and go to use the bathroom.
At 10:30.
All right.
Okay.
So give it back to you by then. Okay.
Okay, I'll give it back to you. Oh wow. Well, it has been a long time since I stood here. I want to thank you for your support. It's not easy just doing the work that we do, but you guys make it easier for us. I want to thank you for your support financially, prayerfully. If I can, I would like to have my wife and children stand up back here so everybody can see my family. That's my wife and then my 7 children, 3 girls and 4 boys. And I think those are your heroes over there. I want to thank you guys, too. Like I said, I don't know how much I'm going to get into this morning, but those kids are all in full Islamic public school in the Middle East. And they have been in there, and you guys don't just support one missionary. You don't support me. You support 9. You support 9 missionaries. Listen, folks, everything that we set our goals to do inside of Turkey, we've accomplished it, even in the face of Islam. Okay, I don't think David saw a giant that day. I just think he saw a man he was fixing to take down. Amen. And I don't think that we need to look at Islam as a giant. When God has called us in there, we never expect Satan to roll out a red carpet for us. But we knew that God had called us in there. And our goal to learn the language and to get in there and share the gospel with those people. And it's not just me. It's every one of those kids in Islamic school. And the 4th year of being in school over there, we told that they had been fighting us for 3 years. Okay? They knew we were not going to go away. But the last year I said, I want a legal document from the government that says when the imam comes in to teach Islamic classes, which is 2 hours a day, I want those 7 kids to be able to legally get up and walk out of class. And after 3 years of fighting, they signed off on it. So every day when it's 100% Islamic school other than my children. But when the imam comes in to teach Islamic classes, those kids get up and walk out. So that's right. Those kids need a hand. Those kids have endured great hardships and they've had to fight their way through many things. But praise God, God has been with us. Anyway, I want to have just a little bit of fun with you before we go into the slides. I want to know quickly, biblically speaking, what do you know about the country of Turkey? Anybody just raise your hand. Listen, I'm setting you up. Okay? Just know that I am setting you up. Okay? We're going to have a little test. Anybody want to volunteer, throw a hand up. So I want to know, biblically speaking, okay? Biblically speaking. Yes, sir. Paul planted churches there. Yes, sir. Another. Okay, so let me stop you right there. If Noah and the ark is landed there on Mount Ararat, or Ararat, what we would call it, then basically we can say everyone in this room right here can trace their heritage back to which country? That's right, so you have an investment in that country, amen? Believers, and let me go in to say this, believers were first called Christians at Antioch, right, which is Antakya, Turkey. So if you call yourself a Christian, you can trace that name all the way back to which country? Turkey. Okay, and the list goes on. Joseph and all of his brothers, other than Benjamin, were born there. Remember when Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years for Rachel and got tricked into getting Leah? That was in Haran, Turkey. That's where, and had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And can I tell you something, folks? Please forgive me for saying this. I'm not running the Turkish people down. Please forgive me for saying this. It's still that crooked today. Okay? You have to be very, very careful what you say and what you do. Can you imagine 7 years he worked there for Rachel? And no one told him, buddy, you're not going to leave here with Rachel. No one told him. So anyway, you have to be very, very careful. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is Tarsus, Turkey. Timothy, Lydia, the seller of purple. Paul was stoned and left for dead there inside of, remember in Lystra and Derbe where he was stoned and left for dead? That was in Turkey. Paul preached all night. The young man fell out of the window for dead. Paul went down, laid on him. God raised him back up alive there. That was inside the country of Turkey. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Philemon, the book of the Revelation were all books written to churches there inside the country of Turkey. Remember when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he turned charge of Mary over to John, right? John later moved to Ephesus and pastored there along with Mary. So Mary spent the last half of her life there inside the country of Turkey. And the list goes on and on. It was the first Christian country. Today it's the most Islamic in the world at 99.9% Muslim. So you can imagine we have a great work ahead of us. Amen? Great challenge. I have put together a few slides that I want to show you because we do biblical tours. That's one of my reasons for being inside the country. So I want to show you a few, if we have the first slide ready. That's my wife and children. Okay, let's go to the next one. This should be a Colosseum. They're in Ephesus. These are all the things that I'm showing you are things that you can come see. Of course, the gentleman said back here, the seven churches mentioned in the book of the Revelation. This, of course, is Ephesus. Next picture. Oh, I guess I'm controlling that, right? This is the library there in Ephesus. You guys can come and visit these places. This is the baptismal pool in John the Beloved's church there right next outside of the Colosseum area there in Ephesus. That's a baptismal pool that is shaped in a cross, right? And it's deep because we don't sprinkle. Amen. We immerse. And this is the actual tomb where John the Beloved was. His tomb was located in this area. And then later they built a church on top of that. This is the house of Mary there high up on the hill right outside the Colosseum there in Ephesus is where they believe that she spent the last half of her life. There's my seven children. That's pretty cool to get to be kids and get to hang out in these places, right? Let's see what else we got here. Okay, this is Laodicea, one of the coolest places that you know we like to hang out at where he gives the mention of hot and cold. I'd rather you be hot or cold. This is done in the book of Revelation, is done from here. You can see this is in July when we're there. It's 110 degrees. There's still snow on the top of the mountains there where they get the reference from being cold. Clicker. This mountain here, Pamukkale, is a white mountain that is hot water boils out from underneath the ground and causes a white phosphorus cap over the mountain. You can't see this really good, but Laodicea is over in between these two mountains. And if you look to your left, you see the Pamukkale, the white covered mountain where the hot water comes out of the ground. If you look over to your right from there in Laodicea, you see the snow covered mountains. A lot of interesting. This is not snow in the back. You see everybody's there in their shorts. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to see. Sardis, I just put these in here so you can see my mom and dad at the bottom. He's 6 foot tall, but you can see the columns. I mean, they're gargantuan. You can understand that. Philadelphia, several places. I'll go through Pergamum, which is called the throne of Satan. Some of these people are Turkish people. All of these people that I'm going to show you here are people that we have been working with closely. All of these people have been preached to. All of these people have been given the gospel to. All of these people have been given Bibles to. That we need you to, you know, remember us in prayer. But some of these are faces that you guys have been a part of helping us work with. This is Ozzy's Bay, which is my son's violin teacher. Utku, another violin teacher. Suleiman is a Christian Turk that had to leave, was kicked out of his family early in his life they wanted him to go to an Islamic school and he just didn't have a peace about it. Amen. And listen, I'm going to say this. I want to share just a little bit of his story of why we need to pray for some of these guys. Folks, listen. I tell people to please be patient with us and be patient with the work that we're doing over there in Turkey. Because, listen, I grew up in America. It took me 20 years to become a Christian. I grew up in church. It took me 20 years. Folks, listen, it's not easy. It's not easy to be born in these places and to be raised in families believing things. I mean, I wouldn't even attempt to do this, but how long would it take me to convince you that Muhammad was the prophet? Amen? He's not, and I'm not going to try to, but that's what the hurdle they have to climb over. Please be patient with us and pray for these people. Suleiman was living on the streets and living in, you know, just out of garbage that people could give him. And people invite him to come and visit this one church there in Konak, and he would come and visit it, and he would hear the gospel. And he was praying, God, you know, if this stuff about Jesus is real, can you give me a sign? I'm just giving you the short version. He went out into the church courtyard after that, and he said, I was praying, God, please show me. If this thing about Jesus is real, please show me a sign. And he said, Troy, the wind blew across me. The hair and chill bumps come up on my arm. Hair stood up on my neck and on my arms. And he said, I looked around in the trees. Nothing was moving. Nothing was moving. Folks, I'm not trying to bring some, you know, charismatic religion and miracles or whatever. But you know what? We serve a miracle working God. And we need to pray for God to you know what? If it takes miracles, then bless God. Let's pray for God to send a miracle into these people's lives. And Suleiman has been a great help to us. So please remember him. It's the Turkish word for Solomon, King David's son. Suleiman. Paul and Melek. Now, Melek, the blonde lady there, beautiful lady. Paul is on the left. I got to share this story with you quickly. Melek is a Turk, means angel. Literally means angel. Paul is from England. Melek speaks no English. Paul speaks no Turkish. They are married. They met in France. They speak a little bit of French. But anyway, we got to be a part of Paul becoming a believer 3 years ago. And I mean, you know the expression, he really got saved. Amen? He really got saved. The part of it is, even though Melek means angel, she's not always an angel. She has put him through great, great persecution. He has slept in the car many nights, okay? I need you to please pray for Paul and Melek. We're still constantly emailing now, back and forth, and trying to reach them. Folks, this is not easy. Please remember Paul in your prayers, would you? Oh, Jevat Abi owns a corner market there beside us. That's one of my sons. He's like, you're not taking him back to America. We love him too much, you know? And so anyway, Jevat needs the Lord. Amen. Mustafa and Dilek, the most religious family that we know there, they're in Turkey. They are very faithful to Islam, but they're very good. It's a works-based religion, right? Sometimes that's good to have around. You know why? They're watching our car. They're watching our furniture. They're taking care of some of our needs over there. So, I mean, I hate to say you got to use what you got, but I mean, you got to use what you got. Amen. But pray for Mustafa and Delay. I'm telling you, they are sincerely wonderful, good people, but they're lost and they need the Lord. We'll flip through a few of these. I got to get to Orhan. Orhan, see, everybody thinks the people in the Middle East have rejected Christ. Everybody thinks they know the story in the Quran. They know the New Testament. They know all the stories about this stuff and they have rejected it. I had a friend of mine, a pastor friend, came over and visited us not long ago. And he said, he made this statement one day. He said, Troy, he said, look at all the people who have rejected Christ. I said, Brother Jim, he's never rejected Christ. They've never been offered him. If I hand you a $20 bill and you say, no, thank you, that's rejection. But if I don't hand you a 20, you can't reject a thing. These people have not rejected Christ. They've never had been offered him. I'm sitting in there. This guy cuts my hair. And I'm sitting in there one day. And I'm like, Orhan, you know that the Mohammed said. I'm just telling you this to give you an understanding of what they understand. Okay. I said, Orhan, you know that in the Quran that Mohammed said Jesus didn't die on the cross. He said, oh, yes, he did. I saw the movie that Mel Gibson put out, The Passion. He said he was hanging right there on the cross. Okay. Folks, I'm telling you, they do not know. Okay. I have been in there 4 years in Turkey. I've only met two that have ever read the Quran. Only two. And when they read it in Arabic and they speak Turkish. They do not understand Arabic. And my kids or spend the night with these other kids in their homes. They could tell you stories. They would just, I mean, it's funny to us, but they take it serious. Okay? These people just, they need more of us. Amen? Our next door neighbors, Ned and Sarah Bay, good, wonderful people. Oh, Servet and Osman. I told Servet, the guy on the right here one day, I'm like, Servet, I have preached, folks, I have preached and preached and preached so hard at this guy. It's not funny. And finally, one day, I mean, he's heard it. He has heard. He knows the plan of salvation clearly. Amen. And I'm sitting there by Sarah's bed one day, and I just look at him. I said, Sarah Beth, because I'm thinking, does it ever click? Does it ever click? When you live over there, and many of you have been over there in less than desirable conditions, but when you live over there and you work around these people, and these people, please forgive me, folks. I'm not running them down. This is just the truth of where we're at. When you live in the Middle East and you work with some of these people, you can understand why Jesus' disciples just could never put two and two together. I mean, 2 and 2 is 4 in America. Okay, Brother Bill, but I'm telling you, it's just, and it is over there in the Middle East, but folks, they don't, we are very analytical thinkers. We are very analytical thinkers, and these people are not. Finally, one day I looked at Servette, I said, Servette, do you realize the difference in Muslims and Christians? I mean, you would think he would have said something other than what he said, because I mean, I have been working with this guy for a long time. Do you understand the difference in Muslims and Christians? He goes, no, what? I said, one goes to heaven, one goes to hell. And he looked at me, brother, just as serious, he goes, which one are we? Have you heard anything I have been saying to you? I have been showing you in the Bible, highlighting it in the Bible. I've drawn the 3 crosses. I've done everything. Has it ever registered to you? Which one are we? I said, you're not the one going to heaven. And I said, I told him this. I went a little bit further with it. You got to read each person is different, how far you can go with them. Amen. Don't think I'm standing up here being bold and stupid. Okay. I'm sitting there and I'm like, Servette, you're not the one that's going to heaven. And I told him, I said, listen, if you wind up dying and going to hell, I'm going to come down there and kill you myself. I mean, I'm getting right with you. I said, I have left my country. I've left my mom and dad. I've left my language. I've left everything. And God has called me over here and I'm sitting right beside you, giving you the gospel and you reject it. I said, I'm going to be very upset with you if you die and go to hell. Servette, his brother Osman, folks, they need your prayers. Jan Gies owns the Christian bookstore. Listen, I'm going to say this. The real Saint Nick, if I can say this, is from Patara, Turkey. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Set in on the Council of Nicaea. Okay? They're very special documents to us. Because of that, in December, even though Turkey is 99.9% Muslim, there are Christmas trees everywhere. There are Christmas lights, there are Christmas hanging from the light poles. Inside our malls, there is American Christmas music being played. They don't understand all of it, but they like Christmas music, amen? And so we have 100-foot Christmas trees. Now listen, they're not there worshiping the birth of Christ. They're not there to understand that. They're just celebrating the new year coming in. Okay? But that is the ideal time of the year for every friend, every acquaintance that we have made from January the 1st through the end of November. In December, they get Bibles. All of the people, all the new friends, because that's the festive time of year. That's when everybody is happy and singing and giving gifts already. That's the time that we put Bibles into their hands. That's the time that we kind of push the gospel a little bit further, okay? This is the only Christian bookstore. Those Kusaki Top means holy book. And this is Old and New Testament. I got one out on the table you can take a look at. But Jan Gies owns a little Christian bookstore there. This is all we have. It's about a 10 by 12 room for 3.5 million people. But praise God we've got this. Amen. Amen. So this is where we buy all of our Bibles. And listen, pretty much every year we'll be trying to raise money for Bibles. So get used to that. Amen. December is our time to give out the Bibles. This is our 4 sons. Hey, this is public school uniform. That doesn't look too bad, does it? And this is our girls getting ready to go to school. Now listen, I'm really excited about these next 3 pictures and then I will move on to this. We've only been there 4 years. Okay? And we hit the ground running. And learning the language was the number one priority. The language and culture. I mean, you don't need to do anything else until you grab a hold of the language. Okay? And this last December when we were there, my wife and I were like, you know, we've been making a lot of friends. We've pushed a lot of buttons, a lot of people asking questions. Why don't we, you know how you ladies like to do Christmas parties and cookie swaps and all kinds of things like this, right? Well, we had one Friday night that we had open. And I said, let's do it. Let's invite some of our closest friends over and let's hit it. I mean, you know, we're getting ready to leave the country. We want them to have a lot of things to think about while we're gone. Amen. We invited 34 of our friends, folks. 33 of them showed up. 33 of them showed up. This is our living room in there. You see Orhan sitting by me, the little bald-headed guy that thought, you know, I saw Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. 33 of them showed up. Look at that. Our living room is packed with these Turkish people. Folks, for a solid hour. I have in my kitchen, I have a big dry erase board, okay? Because I don't just preach it to them. I just don't want to show it to them. I draw it all out. I want to make sure they get a visual picture stuck in their mind too. For a solid hour, From Gabriel's announcement to Mary, all the way through the death, burial, and resurrection, these people listened to the gospel for the first time they've ever heard it in their life. We don't have big numbers, folks. We don't have big numbers, hundreds and thousands of people getting saved. But I can assure you this, we're planting the seed. We're planting the seed. Listen, this is something that God, and your pastor, Brother Sean, hit on it this morning in the morning service, and he will a little bit later, I'm sure. As far as being a holy God, being a just God, let me say this. We have had to work with a lot of mental issues in our country as far as understanding what God is doing over there. But you know something? God is a just God. And God can call you someplace with the intention of no one ever becoming saved, with no one ever becoming born again. God can call you to a place for one reason only, to make God a just God.
Amen.
None of these people could ever stand before God and say, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't hear it. God can say, rewind the tape. Boys, you see that family of nine I put right there? You did. God is a just God. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to continue praying. Brother, you can take care of that now. I want you to continue praying for us, the Williams family. I want you to continue praying for the Turkish people. Let me tell you something. Folks, these are some of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. They're good people. Let me tell you something. Jesus died on that cross for Muslims, too. Amen. Jesus died on that cross for those Turkish people. And I'm proud to represent the Lord there. I'm proud to represent you guys there in that country. I invite you to come visit us. Maybe Pastor Sean and Brother Bill, I'm getting echo here. Is it just me? Can put together a group and maybe come over there and visit us sometime. But anyway, for a short message this morning, I'm not a long-winded guy. Brother Sean, I appreciate your message. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't want to speak this morning. I've been in country for 4 years. I ain't been in a church anywhere. You know what I want to do? I want to sit right out there and I want to listen. Brother, that was an amazing message. You pumped my soul up. Amen. And I'm going to be in here the second one because I want to hear it again. I can't get enough of it. Listen, we need to be very careful running down some of these old patriarchs in the Bible that fell later in their life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been there for 4 years. We have fought Satan in ways that I didn't even know Satan was created, that created the fight. But I'm going to tell you something. Until you live in a place where there is no church and there is no Awanas, I don't know, or there is no Sunday school class, there is no other believers around you where you can sit and pray and talk and communicate and be in a service like, folks, don't take this for granted. Can I tell you something? Don't take this for granted. I believe missionaries need to be spent on the field. But let me tell you something. We came back wasted. Very tired. Chewed up and spit out, basically. We need to be back here and be encouraged and just let God refill our cup. Amen? But I've been asked to speak a little bit this morning about the endurance of the missionary. Pastor Sean is bringing a message out of Isaiah chapter 6. And I was given verse 11. He said, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the house without man and the land the utter desolate. How long the endurance of a missionary? And you know something, folks? I don't think that it's very different from your endurance. I think that three things I want to look at in the Bible today, and we'll turn to John chapter 3, of course, one of our favorite verses over in the Bible. You can go ahead and turn there. Is number one, I think that you, number one, at the very baseline of everything, is you have to know that you're saved. Amen? This is Sunday morning. Praise God. I'm an evangelist. I like preaching salvation messages. That's what I do in Turkey to every person I come in contact with. You have to know that you're saved. Number two, that you have to know that you're called. And number three, I'm just going to say this for now, you have to be there.
Amen.
You have to be there. Okay? John chapter 3, if you'll turn over there quickly with me. Everybody knows John chapter 3, verse 16. We're not going to go there. We would never use that verse in the Middle East. But I'm going to begin reading in chapter 3, like I said, verse 1. And you're all familiar with the story. It said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi,
We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be with your people. God, I don't want a single word of mine to be heard. I want your words to flow through me this morning. Father God, I commit myself to you. I put myself on the altar. I commit myself to you, and everything that I would say this morning would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The favorite verse that I use in Turkey is John chapter 3, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A person asked me not long ago, they said, Brother Troy, do you think a person that has never heard the gospel can enter into heaven? I said, I don't know. You answer the question for me. Can a person who's never been born, period, enter into this world? I guess I do know the answer to that, too, on the bill. That would be no. Amen? In the Middle East, I hear this all the time. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. Let me explain this verse to you and how I explain it to them in the Middle East. I consider myself to be somewhat of an authority on this verse about being born of water because I have 7 children. Amen. We use a lot of passages in the Bible that we like to parallel it when Paul will say about running the race. And it's a marathon. It's not just a sprint. I think that Jesus put this in here the way he put it in here for a reason. I think that you can parallel the physical birth with the spiritual birth. I also consider myself an authority on being born again because, praise God, I've been born again. In Morocco, Africa, on November 16th, 1986, let me say this. After praying and asking God to save me many times as a child growing up, praise God, there did come a day that he really did it. That he really did it. I'm not trying to cause any doubt in here this morning, but you know something? I don't think that we need to be able to make a person doubt their salvation in this respect right here. I'm telling the Muslims all the time, listen, you need to pray and ask God to show you, because if I can convince you to be a Christian, that guy over there can convince you to be a Muslim. But if God Almighty shows you the truth, I'm not going to shake you. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but even in the Islamic world, this has a major impact on their thinking. And I go into the process with them, those which are born of water. I say, well, do you know what that means? They're like, no, I don't know what that means. That means for 9 months you lived in your mama's belly in what? Water. Amen? They get it. Oh, yeah. They can't deny it. Give them something that they cannot deny. I'm not going to take them to Jesus being the Son of God because they turned you off. Boom, right there. For 9 months you lived inside your mother's womb. In water, right? Amen. They're agreeing with it. And I'm not going to go into all the details about everything else. There's a lot of young people in here. Amen. But we know the process. Amen. We know the process of getting how you came to the point where you were conceived and you lived in that water. And then 9 months later, your mama, water broke. Everyone, I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. I don't care if you call yourself a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu. I don't care what you call yourself. Every one of us put our feet on this ground the exact same way. Amen? They can't deny that, can they? They're sitting there just like you, shaking their head. Yeah, yeah. Give them something they can agree with. That's what Jesus said. You said Jesus is a great prophet. Amen? Boy, I'm running out of time. You said that Jesus is a great prophet, right? Then why don't you believe what he said? You must be born of water. We understand the birth process, right? Jesus also said, you're not going to enter into the next one unless you're born of the Spirit. See, this is where I hang them. But wait a minute. And everybody is not God's children. Why? I said, because God is a Spirit. Amen? They're like, yes, he is a Spirit. Only those born of the Spirit are God's children. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Only those born of the Spirit are God's children. Now let me make a quick parallel. Have you been born again? Do you know that you know that you know? Are you 100% sure that you have been born again? I'm going to give you a little test. I said I'm authority on the birth process because I got 7 kids. I've been there for 6 of them. One of them I was on the road preaching. She'll have to forgive me. She'll hold it against me my whole life, won't she? I've been there to 6 of them. And let me tell you something. Every one of my children that come out, Brother Bill, knew that their life had just changed. Amen? Every one of them. Pastor Sean, don't you think that? I think when a person is born again of the Spirit of God, you know what? Brother, you're going to know that your life has changed. Amen? I'm not going to break all this stuff down in detail. I'm just going to hit the big ones. Every one of my babies came out talking. Amen? Every one of them came out talking. I believe when the Spirit of God indwells that person's body, you are going to know that your life has changed, and you know what? You're going to be talking to somebody about it. I can't help but think Jesus didn't put this in here for some reason that we need to take a look at. You know what? And can I tell you something? My oldest daughter is 16. Let me say this, just slide this in here. She's still talking today. Amen. Praise God. And every other one of them is talking. I don't know if you prayed this little prayer and you talked for 24 hours and that baby just died away. Maybe you need to take a look. I don't know. I've been in the birth process and I've been born again. I just think there's some similarities. Number 3, I want to tell you what, every one of my children knew that their life had just changed. Every one of them came into this world talking. And you know what? Every one of them come in there hungry. They just came in there hungry, brother. I don't know what else to say, but somebody said, get her to her mama. Get her to her mama. Give her sugar water or somewhere. But they came in hungry. And can I tell you something? They're still eating today. I can't help but think when a person has truly been born again, Spirit-filled of God, and I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about handling rattlesnakes. I'm not talking about drinking cyanide. I'm talking about truly born again, Spirit-filled child of God. You need to know that your life has changed. You need to be talking about what's going on inside of you, and we will keep talking about it. You need to be hungry for the things of God, and you're going to continue being hungry for it. I just think there's some similarities to the physical birth and the spiritual birth. Forgive me, but I just think there's. Now let me say this. A lot of people come in here to church. You know what? This is just a restaurant. It's like a restaurant, brother. You eat at home, don't you? Why don't you get your Bible out and eat there, too, at home? Listen to me. I go on with it. I like preaching this kind of stuff. Number 2, I told you, is you got to know that you're called. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings. Turn with me to 1 Kings. And let me say this. 1 Kings 19. That'd be good if I told you where to go, wouldn't it? 1 Kings 19. I got 15 minutes. We're good. You said 10:30, right? Let me say this. There is a lot of confusion, I think. There is a lot of emotion that goes into this thing about being called of God and coming to church and hearing these great messages and listening to missionaries. There is a lot of confusion. And I hear people come up to me and talk to me all the time about, Brother Troy, man, I want to do something for the Lord. I just want to do something for the Lord, but I just don't know what it is. And I feel like God is working in me or something, and I just don't know what it is. I just hear this all the time. And if you want to come up to me, say it to me too, you can. That's fine. But can I tell you something? Let me calm you down a little bit. There's one thing that I think is pretty consistent in the Bible, is that every time God wanted somebody to do something, God approached them. Can I tell you something? I want you to relax and trust God that He knows where you live. He knows your street address. He knows your email address. He knows your home phone. He knows your cell phone number. He has no problem communicating with you when He is ready to move you. Okay? What you need to do is just relax and just trust the Lord. Amen? But you have to know that you're called. And I'm going to read through this. I love this. We're talking about Elijah. You know the story. He just killed all the prophets. I'll begin reading in verse 8. He's killed the prophets of Baal. And old Jezebel's after him, right? He's running, hiding. I'm going to read this. I'm in 1 Kings 19. I'll begin in verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it. And I love this, folks. Just keep following me there. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said unto him, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, what's the very first word he said? Go. But what I want to draw your attention to is this. That still small voice. I talk to people all the time. Now listen, don't take wrong what I'm fixing to say to you, please. I talk to people and I talk to my kids about recognizing the voice of God. Not the face of God. God is a spirit. God can appear to you as a man. He can appear to you as a woman. Now, I'm going to clarify this. Listen to me. God can be black. God can be white. God can appear to you as a spirit. God, He spoke to people in the Bible through a donkey. He spoke to people through a fire. God can appear to you in any shape or form. What I'm saying to you is this, because He is a spirit. Do you recognize the voice of God? The voice of God. It's just the voice of truth. When your pastor Sean brings you a message, like he's going to bring here in a minute. The voice of God speaking through a man. Amen? It's the voice of truth. But listen to me. The still small voice. I want you to look at verse 8 really quick. Really quick. And he arose. This is Elijah. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the what? Mount of God. Wait a minute. He didn't run away from God, did he? He didn't run to some club. He didn't run to some Las Vegas, some sin district. Where did he run to? The Mount of God. What could be translated today? He ran into the church building. But wait a minute, what was he doing? Hiding. He said, what are you talking about, Brother Troy? Wait a minute. That's what it said. He ran, he was doing what when he was running? He was hiding from Jezebel, wasn't he? But he ran into the church building. He felt safe in there. The Lord said, what are you doing here? Let me say this to you this morning. You've done been through number one. You're born again. You're saved. You know that you're born again, right? Amen. Those are the ones I'm talking to right now. But the still small voice has spoken to you, and you know that you need to follow God. God's calling you into the full-time ministry is what I'm saying. That's the people, that's the group I'm talking about right now. God's saying, brother, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You're in church. You know I've called you to Bible college. Why are you here? You know I've called you to pastor church. You know I've called you to teach Sunday school. You know, what are you doing here? That still small voice speaking to you. Can you recognize the voice of God this morning? He wasn't running away from God. I'm not talking about those people outside the church. I'm talking about people who are sitting inside the church that are hiding from God. They're not surrendering their life fully for what God has called them to do. That still small voice, what are you doing here? Number three, you need to be there. Number three, I want you to turn to Exodus 24 really quick. Exodus, I got 8 minutes, brother. I am going to give it to you on time. Praise God. They've always told us if you keep it short, you get support. I figured it. If you keep it short, you keep your support. Amen? So I want to keep my support. Praise God. I'm going to try to get you out of here on time. I don't have time to read all of this, everything that I want to read to you this morning, but I'm going to be, I'm in 24, Exodus 24. And I'm going to start in verse 9 and just read about three verses. And I went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles and upon the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. And listen to this. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Be there. You know what, folks? For the endurance of a missionary, the endurance of a pastor, the endurance of a Christian, I think it's the same. Number one, you have to know that you're a child of God. You have to settle that. You've been born again. Number two, that you know that you are called. And let me tell you something. God ain't called you to Turkey. God may have called you to the army. There's many lost people in the army. Amen. God may have called you to the job. God's called you to the subdivision. God's called you to the area. God's called. Listen, believe it or not, God's got you right where he wants you. Don't fantasize about coming to my country and doing what I'm doing. I get paid to tell people about Jesus because I did it long before I got paid for it.
Well,
you know, amen, right? Amen. And after if I lose all my support, brother, guess what? I'll keep on doing it. It ain't about the money. God's got you where he's got you for a reason, too. The third thing is this. What God told Moses, Moses, I want you to come up on this mountain with me. I want you to be there. I don't want you thinking about all those people down there. I don't want you thinking about your wife. I don't want you thinking about your children. I don't want you thinking about your job. You know what I want you to do? I want you to come up here with me, and I want you to be there. I want you to be with me. You know what, folks? There are many of you come here to church today. You're here in your body, but you're not really here. Your mind is in other places. You come into the house of God. You know what? God wants you, if you're going to be here, he wants you to be here. Amen? And not just be here. Let me tell you something. When you're at home, you need to have your quiet time with God. I'm not a proponent of getting up early, you know, in the morning. If you're a morning person, praise God. Or in the middle of the day, if you've got time or night. Can I tell you something? God has shown me something. We can't do this without him, folks. We need to come into the presence of God every day of our life. And while we're there, you know what we need to be? We need to be there. We don't need to be, excuse the expression, having our quiet time just sitting on the toilet. I got 2 or 3 minutes for you, Lord. You know what? Amen. We got to know we're saved. We got to know we're called. We need to come into the presence of God every day. And when we're in the presence of God, we need to be there. We need to be there. Father God, I thank you for this message. I thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. I thank you for this church, Pastor Sean, Brother Bill, all the people here, God. Lord, if there's somebody here today who's not truly been born again, today would be a great day. Somebody here who's hiding in the church that you've called them, you know you've called them, they know you've called them, but they're hiding in the church. God, say it again to them today. What doest thou here? Why are you here? Spinning your wheels, doing nothing. Go. Go, you told Elijah, first thing, go. Get out of here. Go do what I've called you. God, maybe there's people here today who have neglected their personal time with you. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not quarantining themselves off from the world, from their job, from the troubles, from the sickness, from everything going on in their life. God, help and show them today that you're very serious. You are a holy God. When they come into your presence, they need to be there. God, take this message and use it for whatever way you want. It's yours, and these people are yours. Thank you for using me as your servant, as your vessel today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.